Anybody ever have squirrel troubles? Yeah. I think we've all had squirrel troubles from time to time, correct? Well, I found this little story about some different churches and different denominations, and they each had some squirrel troubles, and they all had a unique way to come up with it. I thought I'd like to share it with you this morning. It says, at the Baptist church, the squirrels had taken an interest in their baptistry. Well, the deacons met and decided to put a water slide on the baptistry and let the squirrels just drown themselves. Well, the squirrels liked the slide, and unfortunately, they knew instinctively how to swim, so twice as many squirrels showed up the following week. The Lutheran church decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creatures, so they humanely trapped their squirrels and set them free near the Baptist church. Well, 2 weeks later, the squirrels were back when the Baptists took down their water slide. The Episcopalians, they tried a much more unique path. They set out pans of whiskey around their church in an effort to kill the squirrels with alcohol poisoning. But sadly, they learned how much damage a band of drunk squirrels can really do. Now, the Catholic Church, they came up with a very creative strategy. They baptized all their squirrels, made them members of the church, and now they only see them at Christmas and Easter. Well, not much was heard from the Jewish church. They took the first squirrel and they circumcised him. Squirrels in the church, not so much a good thing. But I thought the Catholic Church solution was kind of interesting, was it not? Let's make them members and then you only see them at Christmas and Easter. We call them CEO Christians, right? Christmas and Easter only. It is not God's design. It is not God's plan for us to be in church on Christmas and Easter only. It is God's design and God's plan for us to be a part of the church and to be faithful, not just in coming to church, but being faithful to the church. Because the church is not the building. We know this. The church are the people that Jesus Christ has saved and brought into the family. And we're talking about Joseph's journey, and we're going to go to Genesis 39 here in just a minute to pick up a part of his story. And we're talking about the process of purpose. And we're talking about how do we find and apply purpose and meaning in our life. And today we're going to talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness is key. Faithfulness is important. And as we've been talking about Joseph's journey and the process of purpose, remember 2 weeks ago we started out with showing you a little bit about Joseph at 17 years old and how that God had told him through dreams that he was going to one day be an authority. And we talked about how that God in his plans and in his purpose for the nation of Israel and to bring about the Messiah through the nation of Israel had made Joseph to be a part of that plan because the nation of Israel, before it was even getting started, was in serious trouble because Satan has wormed his way into the family and causing problems. Because Satan, behind the scenes, remember the cosmic battle between good and evil, Satan was trying to destroy the nation of Israel all throughout the Old Testament. But every time Satan had a move, God had a plan. And just like God had a plan for Joseph, God has a plan for you. You are a part of God's plan in his story of redemption of mankind. And finding and understanding your process, and finding and understanding your purpose, whatever it may be in this life, starts with understanding the overarching, transcendent purpose for which you were created, and that is to worship God and enjoy His presence. As Christians, we like to talk about it in giving glory to God. And we all have to admit that that sin nature in us kind of rebels against that. I was created to worship God, and there's a part of us that's like, I don't care for that. And we defined what worshiping God is and giving glory to God is. Giving glory to God is to recognize and reflect God's character, not just overall, but all of the individual aspects of His character, like His patience. We recognize that, and then we reflect it through our lives. And we reflect His work in the world around us. Well, last week we talked about the first step, truly, in understanding your purpose is submission. And that when you and I learn to submit to the authority that God has placed in our lives, we are learning to submit to the ultimate authority, our Heavenly Father. And in submitting to our Heavenly Father's will, we are placing our lives in His hands, and we begin to discover and learn all of the great, wonderful things that He has for us. It was such a joy this morning in our morning group talking about and the testimonies of people, how that I used to think that what I was doing was fun, but now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm following God and I'm being transformed, I'm discovering what I used to think was fun really was empty and meaningless. But it's in following and serving God where I'm finding true joy and true fun. But once we submit, we need to work on our faithfulness. So we're going to be in Genesis 39, verses 1 through 6 today. Billy Graham had this to say about faithfulness. He said, "Our world is obsessed with success." And that's a hard phrase to say. I had to practice saying that. I had trouble. Obsessed with success. But God does not define success. But how does God define success? Success in God's eyes is faithfulness to His calling. We talked about this quite a bit in our men's group, right? In our Kingdom Men thing. How that the world defines success in one way, but God's definition is totally different. Mother Teresa said, "I do not pray for success. I ask for faithfulness." We need to be faithful if we want to discover our purpose. Well, what is faithfulness? You know what faithfulness is, correct? Faithfulness is to be reliable, steadfast, dependable. Jesus said, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no." What does that mean? That when I say yes, everybody knows that I mean yes, not maybe. And then if I say no, there's a reason I say no, and you know it's going to be no, and I'm not going to change my mind. That we need to learn to be faithful. By show of hands, how many of you in here have invited somebody to church and they said, "Yes, I'll see you Sunday," and then when you came to church Sunday, they didn't show up? How many of you experienced that? Most of you have, right? And it's disheartening, is it not? You went back and you asked them a second time. What did you think the second time when they said yes? You doubted, didn't you? You're like, "Yeah, I don't really believe it." Because they let you down the first time. And we've all been there. And we all understand what it means to be faithful. It means to be dependable and reliable. And God wants us to be faithful and dependable and reliable. And just like you want the people around you to be that way. Well, in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is now in Egypt. Moses tells us, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, a captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. So now God in His providence had arranged so that Joseph, when he got sold into slavery, he got just so happened to be taken to Egypt. And now when he's in Egypt, of all the places where he could be sold to, he was sold to a man who was a captain in the military in Pharaoh's army, a man known to Pharaoh. God has a plan, and God is working His plan. Only Joseph doesn't quite understand all of it at this point. So here is Joseph. He is taken to Egypt, and he's now a slave in Potiphar's house. But I love this phrase. The Lord was with Joseph. Have you ever felt like God wasn't with you? Have you ever found yourself in a situation and in a circumstance where you felt like you were abandoned by God? My friend, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, remember that was our memory verses for the month of January, to go and make disciples. And verse 20 says, "And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age." That if you're a Christian, that Jesus is with you, how often? Does that mean in good times? Does that mean in bad times? In all of the in-between mundane days of life? That Jesus is with you, is He not? The Lord was with Joseph, but with human eyes, we look at that and go, but he's a slave in Egypt. Where was he supposed to be living? In the promised land, right? His brothers are living it up in the promised land, and they got their own story, and they're in trouble too. But he's supposed to be in the promised land, yet here he is in Egypt, a slave. And from human eyes, it doesn't look like God is with him. But God never left Joseph, because Joseph was a faithful follower of God. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. My friend, if God is walking with you and you're allowing God to work in your life and you're walking with God, you will be successful. Maybe not by the world's definition of success, but by God's definition of success. And it's God's definition that matters for all eternity, not the temporary world that we live in. So the Lord's with Joseph, and he's a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And then I love this next verse. And his master what? Saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands, or be successful, correct? How in the world does his master see that the Lord was with him? Through his work, his actions, his attitude, the words that he said, the way he lived his life in a household where he was a slave, spoke so loudly that his master, who, to be quite frankly, wasn't really concerned with the day-to-day stuff going on in his house. He was more concerned with his military life and protecting the nation. But when he saw Joseph, he could tell, boy, something's different about that person. God's with him. Now, what if Joseph had been like all of us and moaned and groaned and griped and complained and said, God, I don't understand why you got me here. This makes absolutely no sense. I'm not paying any attention to that ungodly Egyptian. I don't care that he is my boss. He's a jerk. Now, would that have pointed that God was with Joseph? Absolutely not. So we know Joseph's life, his behavior, was faithful to doing what? Recognizing and reflecting the character and work of God in the world around him. Just like he did at the age of 17 when God spoke to him so that God could speak through him to his family in the promised land, here he is in Egypt, a slave, and he's still the same faithful man, allowing God's character to reflect in him and through him. And everybody around him could see it. And I wonder, can people see Jesus in our actions and in our attitude? And hear him in our words. That's faithfulness. Well, it doesn't end there. Not only does Potiphar just see, hey, this guy's, there's something different about him. He sees the faithfulness just like you and I. And I put these verses in this morning. I almost forgot to put them in here. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and what? Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, just like Joseph walking with God in the Old Testament, without the Holy Spirit living in him, by the way. You and I walking in this world with the Holy Spirit living in us, he calls us to live faithfully, and not just faithfully, and in gentleness, self-control. All of these fruits of the Spirit, regardless of your circumstance today, remember last week we talked about how that your circumstance is an opportunity to give glory to God. Joseph understood that his circumstance is an opportunity to give glory to God, and so he let it show through with what you and I would call the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness is one of those characteristics. So regardless of where you are today, regardless of what your work situation is like, regardless of your boss, regardless of that coworker, regardless of what's going on, you can be, if nothing else, faithful to reflect God in the world around you. And because Joseph was a man faithful to reflect the character of God through his life, he found favor in Potiphar's sight and served him. Or Joseph, he found favor in Potiphar's sight, and now he gets promoted to be the attendant. One of our translations says he attended him. He got moved up from just a regular ordinary slave to being the attendant to Potiphar. Then, after that, he made Joseph overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Now, do you think, had Joseph been stomping around and moaning and groaning, hiding in the corner, taking naps when he wasn't supposed to, do you think he would have got promoted to personal assistant to overseer of the entire household? Would not have happened, right? His faithfulness to God resulted in God's blessings in lifting him up. My friend, submission leads to faithfulness, which leads to trust. And every one of us in this room know this. A crucial component of a healthy relationship is trust. You don't trust the other person, you do not have a good relationship. You know that to be true, right? Trust is so key, and trust is so crucial. Well, how do you obtain it? Faithfulness. Being there when you said you would be there. Showing up on time. Doing the things that God has called you to do. Submitting to the authority. And not only is your relational trust with human beings important, it's the same way with God. When you learn to trust God and follow Him and do the next right thing, God looks down and sees, oh, I gave Him a little bit, and I could trust Him with that little bit because He proved Himself faithful. Now I can bless Him even more. And I can put more on His shoulders, but at the same time, I can give Him more because now I can trust Him with a little bit more. It's the exact same thing at work. You don't get promoted if you're a slackard. When you prove to the boss you can be trusted, he'll give you a little bit more. And along with the little bit more, maybe comes a pay raise. But God looks down and He sees that you are a trustworthy, faithful servant. And God then begins to pour blessings into your life. And when God begins to pour blessings into your life, it's not for you and you alone. It's also for the world around you. When God begins to see that you are taking what He has given Him and you are faithfully serving Him with it and you are blessing those around you, God begins to give you more and more and more. So it was. From the time that He had made him overseer, from the time that Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed who? Blessed the Egyptian's house. For Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread with which he ate. So do you see what happened? Joseph found himself in a very difficult circumstance, a circumstance you and I would not want to be a part of. Joseph knew that God had made a promise to him that he'd be an authority one day, but let's be honest, right now, it doesn't look like I'm going to be going anywhere. I'm a slave. But what does Joseph do? He stays faithful. And over time, God lifted him up and God blessed him mightily. But not just Joseph. Who else got blessed? Everybody around him. So much so that Potiphar's like, I don't even have to worry about home anymore. Because I know that Joseph's got it and he's taking care of it. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to eat supper, and I'm going to kick back, and I'm going to watch The Chosen on television because I don't have to worry about anything at the house. Or whatever they did in those days when they got home. I don't know what it was. But he didn't have to worry about his home because of the faithfulness of Joseph. And so his entire household was blessed. And my friend, it works in your life and it works in my life. When you show up and when you are faithful and you over and over and over again do the thing that God has called you to do in the moment, he learns he can trust you and then he begins to bless you. And then when he sees that your blessings are not just flowing to you but through you, he wants to bless you so he can bless others through you, and that begins to take place, he begins to bring more blessings into your life. And the problem sometimes is this. We live in an instant world, do we not? I want to watch a movie tonight. Let's push two buttons and start a movie. And we expect God to work that way. But it takes time because God is building in you character so he can bless you, so he can trust you. And he'll bless you and he will bless those around you. Submission leads to faithfulness, which leads to trust. Well, 1,800 years later, Jesus is walking the earth. Jesus came to die on the cross to save us for our sins. He also told us that he came to show us what God is like. He came to live as an example of how you and I should live in the world around us. And he came to teach us. And in many of his teachings, he taught in parables. And I want to look at part of one of the parables that he taught in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus teaching in Matthew 25, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and did what with it? He hid his Lord's money. He did not use the talent that he had been given. Well, after a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. Well, his Lord said to him, well done, good and what? Good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Notice he did not say good and successful servant, did he? He said, faithful, good and faithful servant. Well, he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. Now, did you notice anything about what he said to the second servant as he did in the first? What's different about it? It's a trick question. Absolutely nothing. He said the exact same thing to the guy that only made 2 talents. Why? He was only expected to be faithful. He wasn't expected to make 5 talents like the other guy. He was expected to be faithful with what had been placed in his hands. And it's all God required of him. Now, we'll not talk about the third servant, but as it goes on in the parable, the third one has what he had, the talent that he had given, taken from him, and that servant was cast into outer darkness, signifying that he was not a child of God and was going to spend eternity in hell away from God. The point of the parable is that God expects you to be faithful with what he's given you, not faithful to what he's given somebody else. So whether you have 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent, all that matters is that you are faithful in following and doing the things that God has called you to do on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. It's not that hard, is it? Well, not long after that, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it said, is required of those that have been given a trust. We can put the word talent in there, just like the parable. It is required those who have been given a talent must prove what? Must be faithful. God asks you to be faithful. Not smart, not good looking, not rich, none of those things. And aren't you grateful for that? That I can serve God where I am today. Wherever I'm working, wherever I'm serving, whatever ministry I choose to do within the church, whatever it is that God has placed in my hands, all he's asking is for me to do the best I can and to be faithful. And I know that if I am faithful, God's going to bless me because he can trust me. And then when God blesses me, who else gets blessed? My family? My friends? My church? I imagine everybody in this room, you would love to see people in your life blessed, would you not? You want to see people in your life blessed because of what you're doing. Well, you know how you do it? You allow God to bless you. And how do you allow God to bless you? You remain faithful in his service. We're about to close. I was reminded of a story yesterday. Yesterday was our middle daughter Tamara's birthday. And Tamara, when she, I don't know, second, third grade, and we were in a Christian school, and at the end of the year, a lot of Christian schools, they have these big ceremonies, and they invite the little kids up, and they give them certificates. You're probably familiar with that. And she's up there, and Tamara is real smart, a reader, all that thing. And she's getting A in math and A in English. And then she gets perfect attendance, and then she gets a great reader award. She gets all of these great rewards. And she's walking down getting off the stage, walking down back towards her. And we're sitting in the back, and I'm grinning from ear to ear. I'm so proud of my daughter who's got all of these A's. She is so smart. She's doing so well. And she holds up this certificate, and she announces to the whole church, I got perfect attendance. And I thought, that's what she cares about? Not all of the A's? And she's like, yeah, that's what she cared about. She was just happy showing up. And I was happy, you know, with all the other stuff. God sometimes just wants you to show up. He just wants you to be faithful in what he's called you to do. And when you're faithful, you will be blessed. Well, that first week we talked about the question, how does your story fit into God's story? I know that it does. I don't know your exact circumstances. I don't know what it is that God has placed in your hands to use for His kingdom. But I know that it fits into His story so that when you follow God's plan for your life, you are a part of something much, much, much bigger and something eternal. Last week we talked about submission. Are you saying yes, sir? Are you submitting to the authority in your life? And are you ultimately submitting to God and His authority in your life? And this week the question is, are you a faithful follower? I want to encourage you. I know it gets hard sometimes. I know it gets difficult sometimes. I know people don't understand, why are you going to church again? Or why are you putting in time there? I know that it's not always easy. But I promise you that if you will stay faithful, God will bless you in due course. And others will be blessed because of you. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, I thank you so much for your love and your blessings in our lives. Oh, Father, how wonderful it is to know that you just want us to be faithful to you, to take the things that you've placed in our hands and use them for your glory, to take the things, the talents, the abilities, all of the stuff that you've given us and simply use them faithfully for you. And I pray for each and every one who is here today that they will commit to just simply doing what you've asked of them, to not waste their talent, to not hide it and just bury it somewhere, but to actually use their talents to build your kingdom and to give you honor and glory. Oh God in heaven, we thank you so much for all you've done in our lives. So as the worship team comes to get ready, let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to you today, I want to invite you to come. Maybe you just need to say, God, I've been slacking a little bit. Help me to be more faithful. Whatever it is that God has called you to do. Or maybe you would want to come and stand in front of our prayer board and pray, especially for the lost souls there. But as we sing, you respond as God has called you.